Translation: The Lord, as Supersoul, pervades all things, just as fire permeates wood. And so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one without a second. So this, let's go back to this. In the translation, Suta Goswami is speaking, and he's telling us that he's giving us a metaphor of fire and wood. There may be different types of wood, pine, elm, oak, whatever, fig trees, fig wood. But the fire that emanates from all of them, or the fire that exists in its latent form in all of them, is the same. So he's giving this as an analogy, how the one Supreme Lord in his form as the Supersoul is the same Supersoul that exists in all the varieties of bodies and forms we see in the material cosmos, both the animate and the animate, the rich and the poor, the animals and the demigods. The one same Supreme Lord permeates them all. So that's how I understand the verse. And now this analogy of fire and wood is again appears in the third canto. We're going to go look at this verse. This is the third canto, chapter 9, text 32. And here Lord Vishnu is speaking to Brahman. And he gives us the same analogy, but this time to illustrate how the living entities within all the different bodies are qualitatively the same. So in canto 1, he uses the analogy to show how the Supersoul exists everywhere. And in canto 3, he uses the same analogy to illustrate how the jivas are all qualitatively the same parts and parcels of the Lord, exist in all the different forms we see in the world. So let's read also this third canto. So would one of the ladies like to speak into the microphone? Speak well into the microphone, please.
You will see me in all living entities.
I don't think it's on.
No.
And because of that, anyone who's listening online won't hear it.
Okay, I'll try louder then. You will see me in all living entities, as well as all over the universe, just as fire is situated in wood. Only in that state of transcendental vision will you be able to be free from all kinds of illusion. Herbert?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brahma prayed that he might not forget his eternal relationship with the Lord during the course of his material activities. In answer to that prayer, the Lord said that he should not think of existing without a relationship with his omnipotency. The example is given of the fire in wood. The fire kindled in wood is always the same, although the wood may be of different types. Similarly, the bodies within the material creation may be specifically different according to shape and quality, but the spirit souls within them are not different from one and another.
So the same analogy is used. And funnily enough, in this verse, we're given the so what. Why is this important to understand? Why is this important to see? We're going to talk about the so what more later on. But the so what is, if we don't see like this, we'll fall into illusion. And illusion means to see things separately from Krishna and try to be independent, enjoyers, and controllers. But if we see this truth, then we'll never fall into this illusion. So we'll carry on now. This is from the purport. Would another lady like to read? A few ladies read, and then we'll pass it to the men. If it's your turn to read, please read quickly, because we've got very little time.
Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of his plenary parts, expands himself all over the material world, and his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, any matter, proton, neutron, etc., are all different effects of the Paramatma feature of the Lord.
Actually, because we've got so little time, normally I like to get some involvement by getting you all to read, but I don't think the microphone is working properly, so people online are not going to hear it. So I'm going to read it again. Lord Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by one of his plenary parts, expands himself all over the material world, and his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy. Matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, etc., are all different effects of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. So we're being told couple of things here. One is that Lord Vasudeva is the Supreme Lord, and with just one of his plenary parts, he expands himself into the entire material creation. Matter, all the forms we see, antimatter, the souls that exist within the material world and the supersoul, and protons, neutrons. So I understand Prabhupada is referring to the very substructure of the fabric of material existence, that which is we can't see. He expands into all of these things. So, or as Bhagavad Gita says in 7:19, Vasudevam Sarvamiti. Vasudev is literally everything. Everything in reality. So, I've really had to give a truncated version of what I wanted to present to you. And rather than give you all the evidences to support this diagram, but if you'd like to see the evidences, I'll send you the original PowerPoint. I'm just going to show you a diagram to that will hopefully give some indication of who is Vasudev and who is this plenary part of his from whom expands the entire material creation and who is the very fabric of reality that we see. So in this diagram, you'll see at the very top is Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And from him expands his first expansion, Lord Balaram. Now Krishna and Balaram always exist in Vrindavan. They never leave Vrindavan. So for all his pastimes outside of Vrindavan, including in the Vaikuntha planets, Lord Balaram expands himself as Vasudev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevam Sarvam Iti. This is the Vasudev. He is the first plenary expansion of the Lord outside of Vrindavan. Now, from Vasudev come the other three, Chaturvyuha. These four expansions are known as the Chaturvyuha. So from Vasudev comes Aniruddha, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. From that first Sankarshan comes Lord Narayan. And from Lord Narayan comes a second Chaturvyuha, again beginning with Vasudev. You can see it on the chart to help you follow what I'm saying. So from Lord Narayan comes the second Vasudev, from whom again comes the rest of the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. From this second Sankarshan comes the Purush avatars, or the supersoul of the material creation. These supersoul, they are everything in reality. From their body expands everything that we see, our bodies and everything else. Little bit of detail in my research. Anyway, I'm not going to go to that. We don't have time. But something else that emanates from Vasudev is the Brahma Jyoti. You'll see the Brahma Jyoti there in yellow. This is the personal bodily effulgence of Vasudev. And within that Brahma Jyoti are all the jivas. We're all there. Are all the Vaikuntha planets. And is also the Pradhan, that area of the Brahma Jyoti which is covered with ignorance, where forgetfulness of Krishna, where the material creation will happen. All of this is merely an expansion of Vasudev's body. We're expansions of Vasudev's body. Everything is an expansion of Vasudev's body. So so this was just to illustrate who is this plenary part, and I don't know why that keeps coming up. Who is this plenary part of Vasudev? We're referring to the Purush avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kishoridakshaya Vishnu. We're going to focus more on them and to see how everything in material creation is simply a manifestation of their bodies. So I couldn't find evidences which make it specifically clear, naming them by name. You have to read the whole section to see who is being referred to, but I'm giving you my understanding of these sections. How Vasudeva is everything is explained in detail in Canto 2 and in Canto 3, chapters 1 to 12. So we've done retellings of those books as well. But I'm going to give you my interpretation of this verse. So the verse is from Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 28. The verse is, "Thereafter, the Mahatattva differentiated itself into many different forms as the reservoir of the would-be entities. The Mahatattva is chiefly in the mode of ignorance, and it generates the false ego. It, i.e. the Mahatattva, is a plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, with full consciousness of creative principles and time for fructification." Do you remember how in the purport, Prabhupada says, with one of his plenary expansions, the Supersoul, the Lord pervades everything, matter, antimatter, protons and neutrons? So this is where it begins. Mahatattva is a plenary expansion of the body of Mahavishnu. You'd have to read the whole section to come to that conclusion. So I'm giving you my understanding. So Mahavishnu expands his body into the Mahatattva, within which exists the three modes of nature, the jivas, and time. The three modes of nature, we sometimes see someone's in the mode of ignorance, but these modes are expansions of the body of Mahavishnu. So this is the protons and neutrons of material existence. This is the very substructure of how our reality is created. First, there is the Mahatattva, and that is simply an expansion of the body of Mahavishnu. Then Gavadakaisha Vishnu, he expands himself as everything in the material universe. So this is a quote from Canto 3, Chapter 6, Text 9. If you can, read it in your mind with me. I'm not getting people to read because I don't think the viewers will be able to hear. Do read it. Try to hear attentively. Try to hear with comprehension. 369. The gigantic universal form is represented by 3, 10, and 1. In the sense that he is the body, mind, and senses, that's the 3. He is the dynamic force for all movements by 10 kinds of life energy, that's the 10. And he is the one heart where life energy is generated, that's the 1. So this gigantic universal form, I understand he's referring to Gavadakaisha Vishnu, he expands himself into 3, 10, and 1. And I've done a diagram to show you, to help you understand this better. So in this diagram, Gavadakaisha Vishnu expands himself into 10, or 3, 10, and 1. I've got it the other way around. 3, 10, and 1. So what are the 10? The 10 are, read the list with me, please do, everyone say aloud, the 10 things that Gavadakaisha Vishnu expands himself into. This is the substructure of our reality, is prana. Say, just read aloud with me, prana, the main air passing through the nose, apana, the air passing through the rectum, udana, the air which passes through the throat, vyana, the air which circulates through the entire body, samana, the air which assists digestion, naga, the air which facilitates opening of eyes, mouth, etc., kuma, the air which helps contraction, krikara, the air which increases appetite, devadatta, the air which helps relaxation and which induces yawning, and Dhananjaya, the air which helps sustenance. What are these airs we're breathing all the time? This is nothing but an expansion of Gavadakaisha Vishnu. He expands himself into these airs that sustain our reality. What is the one that he expands himself into? The consciousness, which is the central energy seated in the heart. Understand that to be referring to Kishoridakaisha Vishnu. He expands himself into Kishoridakaisha Vishnu, who resides in all our hearts, and without whom we could not move, we would have no energy, we wouldn't be able to do anything, we wouldn't be able to interact with the external world. We're in a machine. We desire, Supersoul sanctions everything we desire to do. That is also an expansion of Gavadakaisha Vishnu. Not that, he. And then what are the 3 What are the three things that Garbhatakasya Vishnu expands himself into everything? It's the body, mind, and senses. So it's because the modes of nature exist in Mahatattva. They are an expansion of the Lord. Mode of ignorance, passion, and goodness are expansions of Mahavishnu. But then he again expands those modes into creation as Adideva. Through Adideva, he generates the mind. So sometimes we think, oh, our mind's giving us trouble. But what is this mind? She's got such a controlled mind. But what is this mind? This mind is nothing but an expansion of Garbhagatashaya Vishnu's expansion of Adideva. Adideva is an expansion of him. Adi Atma is another energy which is an expansion of the mode of passion, which is an expansion of Garbhagatashaya Vishnu. He expands the mode of passion into the material world as Adi Atma. And through Adi Atma, he generates all our senses, legs, eyes, nose, genitals, hands, mouth, nose. Everything is an expansion of this expansion of Garbhagatashaya Vishnu. Adibhuta is a manifestation of the Lord, of the Lord's mode of ignorance potency. And through Adibhuta, the Lord manifests all the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and the bodies which constitute our gross bodies, the elements which constitute our gross bodies. So in this way we can see how just Mahavishnu and Garbhagatakasya Vishnu, they permeate everything. Their existence, their bodies create the very substructure of our reality. And then we know that Kishoridakasya Vishnu enters into the heart of every living being. So why is all this important to understand? Why is it really important to see that Vasudevam Sarvamiti, Vasudev is everything? As Lord Vishnu told Lord Brahma, if you see this, you'll never fall into illusion. So I have actually got a little extract here from our new book, which is a retelling of the first 12 chapters of Canto 3. It's called Vidura's Pilgrimage. I was going to bring the advanced copy to show you, but I forgot it. But this is our retelling of Chapter 5, Text 28. So this isn't Shastra, this is our retelling of Shastra. So, in pure spiritual goodness, the living being will see that Krishna is the basis of everything. Such a pure devotee sees Krishna everywhere and sees the material nature as Krishna's energy and therefore to be treated as Krishna desires. When the modes of ignorance and passion are added to this, the living entity forgets Krishna. We don't see Krishna everywhere. In the spiritual world, they see Krishna everywhere. He sees matter as the only reality and experiences the duality of desire and hate. I know I'm not getting you guys, everyone here, all the nice Vaishnavas, to read aloud, but please don't let that stop you from hearing attentively. Hearing Bhagavatam attentively is the very engine that drives our spiritual advancement. If we don't hear and understand Bhagavatam attentively, we cannot make spiritual advancement. I know I should be giving you evidence for this, but there's very little time. I can send you evidence if you want evidence for that. So talking about desire and hate, this duality, Bhagavad Gita talks about this in Chapter 7, Text 27. O sign of Bharat, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. So when we don't see Krishna, Vasudevam Sarvamiti, we see ourselves as the center of reality, and we see all the bodies and forms around us as either I want to enjoy or I hate, as my competitor, as undesirable by me. So we're born into this duality of desire and hate. But when we see Krishna everywhere, there's nothing for me to desire, there's nothing for me to hate. I only utilize everything in the service of the Lord, I utilize the Lord's energy in His service. But as soon as we see separately from Vasudev, we think, I am the enjoyer, and everything in this world is for me to like or dislike. So why is this a problem? Why is it a problem that we see the world like this, that we don't see Vasudev everywhere? In your own minds, please read this. I'm going to read it aloud, but I'd like you to read it too. Don't focus on me, focus on the quote and read it aloud so you can concentrate on what we're being told. So Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 23. One who offers me respect but is envious, this is Kapiladev speaking to Devahuti. One who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior towards other living entities. Does anyone here ever experience a lack of peace of mind, some anxiety in their mind? Does anyone experience lack of some anxiety? Does anyone wish they could just experience peace of mind? Anyone? Peace of... Here we're being told, what is stopping our peace of mind? That we see others, we see the world around us, including the people and the other living entities, separately from Vasudev. And therefore, as soon as we see separately, immediately this envy comes in. I like, I don't like. And Kapiladev says, as long as we have this mentality, we will never have peace of mind. If we want to solve the problem of anxiety of mind, it's not about putting this person in their place or improving our bank account. It's about fixing our vision of the world. What the way we see the world will determine how we feel about the world, which will determine how we behave. I'm just actually going to give a little analogy. I once read this book, Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and he gives a story to illustrate how the way we see affects our feelings, affects our behavior. He gave the example of being in the American New York public transport of some type, and a man walked in with five kids, and the children were creating havoc. And the man wasn't saying anything. The kids were running up and down, shouting, screaming, just basically making a nuisance of themselves. And Stephen Covey saw an irresponsible father with five brats, five spoiled kids. That's what he saw. And his feelings became really angry. And after a little while, he couldn't control himself. He went up to the man. He said, "Don't you think you're being really irresponsible and selfish? Why don't you discipline your children? Why don't you say something?" And the man said to him, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He said, "We've just come from the hospital where their mother has just died from cancer." And he said, "I am in such shock myself, and the children in shock." He said, I never thought to say something to them. I'm just absorbed in my own thoughts." Suddenly, Stephen Covey saw the reality completely differently. He didn't see an irresponsible father, he saw a grieving father. He didn't see spoiled brats in undisciplined children, he saw traumatized children. And because he saw differently, he felt differently. He suddenly felt unending patience towards these children and unending compassion towards them. And his whole behavior changed. So when we see the world separately from Vasudev, we will see in terms of I like, I don't like. And we will behave like that. And we will never, ever attain peace of mind. But when we change our vision and we learn to scientifically, analytically, through, and we're going to hear how we can get this vision. We can't artificially get this vision. Prabhupada will tell us how to get it if I can move fast enough to that part. So if we can just see how Vasudeva is everything, automatically our feelings towards the world will change and our behavior will change, and Krishna says we will achieve peace of mind. This is our main objective. I'm going to move on quite quickly. So Krishna says in the Canto 11, Bhayam dvitiya binivesita syat, whoever sees things separately from me will experience fear. Does anyone here experience fear? We hear about acid attacks, we hear about terrorists, we hear about the economy and climate warming and whatever else, climate change. Does this create fear in our hearts? Does anyone want to overcome fear? This is how we overcome it. Why do we experience fear? 3:29-26. Please read the quote along with me. Don't focus on me, focus on the evidences. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a differential outlook. Differential, I see you differently from me. You're not as good as me. You're less educated than me. You're poorer than me. You're a woman, you're a man, you're whatever. And therefore I treat you with less respect or less kindness or whatever. Krishna says, I will cause you fear. In purport, there are bodily differentiations among all varieties of living entities, but a devotee should not distinguish between one living entity and another on such a basis. A devotee's outlook should be that both the soul and supersoul are equally present in all varieties of living entities. So that was the analogy, as fire permeates all types of wood. That analogy was used to illustrate in two different cantos how the supersoul permeates everything and how the soul permeates everything. So the pure devotee has that outlook. He sees everywhere as the one same Supreme Lord. The bodies of everything is simply a manifestation of my one Supreme Lord. Shishi Radha Gokulin Nanda Kijai, Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman Kijai, Shishi Gonitai Kijai, Om Vishnu Padai Vishnu Prishtai Bhutaleshmati. And he also sees how the living entity, the jiva, who's qualitatively one with the Lord, is the same in every body. So if we don't see like this, if we simply see bodies I like, I don't like, Krishna says, I create that fear in your heart. In chapter 10 of the Gita, text 4-5, Krishna explains the different things that come from him. And two of those things are fear and fearlessness. It says, from me comes fear and fearlessness. So Prahlad is an example of a devotee who sees Krishna everywhere. Regarding Prahlad, Kashyapa tells Diti in Canto 3, Chapter 14, Text 50, your grandson will be able to see inside and outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose wife is the beautiful Goddess of Fortune. So Prahlad had this vision of seeing everywhere Krishna. He didn't see with a differential outlook. And because of that, we're told in the summary of Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad never liked the idea of discriminating between one's friends and enemies. Because he was spiritually inclined, he was equal towards everyone. I don't know why that keeps happening. He was equal towards everyone. Because of his vision, his feelings, he had a vision of seeing Krishna inside and outside of everything. That means his feelings towards everyone was that he didn't discriminate between anybody. And as a result of that, even though from an external point of view, Prahlad was put into some pretty hair-raising situations, he never experienced fear. Because Krishna gave him the vision to see how he was protecting him. We'll read, this is from 7:8-12. I've got it at the bottom quote. Please read it in your own minds. Read it with me so it helps you take it in. A devotee who has developed a genuine love for Krishna can always see him everywhere, whereas a demon, not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord, cannot see him. When Hiranyakashipu was threatening to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad certainly saw the column standing before him and his father, and he saw that the Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demoniac father's words. So he saw the external forms, but he also, Krishna gave him the vision to see, I'm here. Because he saw Krishna at all other times, He never differentiated between any living being. In the time which was fearful, Krishna allowed him to see him then. So if we want to overcome fear, we can only overcome fear if during the course of our lives we practice seeing Vasudevam Sarvamiti. And if we actually see like that, we will not differentiate between any living being based on their body. And if we develop that practice in our lives, then when the fearful situations come, we won't feel fear because we'll see Krishna. So just very quickly now, I'm going to read the rest of the purport we were on, 1.2.32, because in the rest of the purport, Prabhupada tells us how we can develop this vision. We can't just artificially develop it. There's a process we undergo. So please read the purport with me in your own minds, or you can even read it aloud. Do read it aloud, and I'll read it too. As from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting. Legitimate hearing and chanting, correctly done. By the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects, which are especially treated in the Vedic literatures like the Upanishads and Vedanta. Srimad Bhagavatam is the bona fide explanation of these Vedic literatures. The Lord can be realized through the oral reception of the transcendental message, and that is the only way to experience the transcendental subject. The only way we can understand, really understand, by just becoming a slogan religion, yeah, Prabhu Vasudeva is everything, but in real life we don't get it. The only way it can actually penetrate our hearts and become our world view is if we give attentive oral reception to the messages of the Bhagavatam. Otherwise we'll never get it, and we'll never get free of fear. We'll never experience peace of mind. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness, please everyone read with me, read the verse with me. As fire is kindled from wood by another fire, the divine consciousness of man can similarly be kindled by another divine grace. His divine grace, the spiritual master, can kindle the spiritual fire from the wood-like living entity by imparting proper spiritual messages injected through the receptive ear. Therefore, one is required to approach the proper spiritual master with receptive ears only, and thus divine existence is gradually realized. So two things, the proper spiritual master, and this is a whole class on its own, and proper receptive hearing. Those two things have to be there. Just one little evidence I want to show on this. This is from Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 10. Anyone, read it with me, anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attentively from its bona fide reciter is sure to become a sincere devotee of the Lord who is able to award liberation. There is none so attentive as Maharaj Parikit in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and there was none so qualified as Shukadev Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Shukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikit respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them. So if we want to achieve peace of mind, if we want to become free of fear, a big bank balance is not going to do it for us. A big house is not going to do it for us. A big position is not going to do it. No matter how big all those things are, material life is still a very frightening place. The only thing that can do it for us, if we develop this vision of Vasudevam Sarvam Iti, and there's no artificial way of achieving that vision, there's only one way of achieving that vision, and that is by giving receptive, attentive oral reception to the proper reciter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's a whole class on its own. the proper reciter and how to give receptive oral reception. Because this is a subject that means a lot to me, my husband and myself have written a whole web page about it. And the web page is www.improvingsangha.wordpress.com, where we give loads of evidence about the proper reciter and how to give correct oral reception. Thank you very much.